Morning, we thank you for joining us. This morning we are going to look at a text that has sometimes been taken to mean that we have some sort of active participation in a war. But as we go through it and look at the words of Paul, we are going to find out that Jesus Christ is everything and has done everything. And I know that as we look at this, it seems almost to describe something to prepare us for a battle. But really what we find out is the armor of God is the person of Jesus Christ, who we are wrapped in and who does the fighting for us and continues to hold us up. And we find out that in Him we are protected and we have all that we need. And because of this great promise to us in this hostile world, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out with a command, or in an imperative in theological terms, basically mean something which we are asked to do as believers. Paul wants us to be strong. But let us look exactly at how we are to be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength." Now, as I was looking at this text and I was studying this week, I was looking at the word strength, because the word that talks about strength coming out of the Greek means to be strengthened, not to be strong. And so what this text is really telling us is that we are to be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. So Paul calls us not that we're going to stand on our own, but that we will be strengthened by God. Our strength does not come from something that we do, but rather comes from the one who gives us strength, the person of Jesus Christ. And see, the problem is we sometimes like to think that we rely on ourselves to be strong. And what Paul is really wanting us to know is that we are to rely on God and His vast strength for us. It is Him that will overcome our difficulties, our problems. In our next verse, we see another command or imperative for us. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. And then as we move through all the parts of that armor throughout this text, we will find out that we are putting on the person of Jesus Christ, so that Satan himself will have no power over us. And we will see that we are protected by what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have nothing to protect ourselves from Satan with. We would fall for his lies time after time after time. But Paul talks about what we are to do is to believe and to know about the promises that we have in Christ. And in this, we actually can win a battle that seems hopeless. Because we hear about this battle in verse 12, for our battle is not against the flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against authorities, against world powers of this darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Notice what Paul says here. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. We, many times, want to think that we have a battle with flesh and blood. Either against ourselves, because we want to battle this whole sin thing within us. God has taken care of that in His Son. Or, many times, and most of the times, we look out and pick out a person who is now the object of evil, whom we have to battle. We do not fight people. That is not our calling. Our calling is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The fight that is waged in the Spirit. And so, God has given us everything that we are able to stand in the midst of this fight. He has given us all so that we can know in the end we will prevail, even though it feels like we won't. We look at the world and we think, oh, this evil place. Look about how terrible things are getting. And it's very interesting because I was just reading a book while I was gone about the early 1900s in this country. And we talk about all the evil that goes on and how much more evil the country is today. And this book happened to talk about the Barbary Coast, which is down by San Francisco. And if you know anything about the history of the Barbary Coast, this is a place that was absolutely evil. And these type of places were set up all over our country and throughout the West. We find out, as we really start to understand history, that evil is always present. It is no different today than it was before. We just think that it was better before. Because we don't remember, and we choose not to look at the evil. But that presence is always there. That battle is always ongoing. Because the flesh is still the flesh. Be it born in 1900, or be it born in 2009. And so, we now come to a battle in which we are armed and we are protected by the person of Jesus Christ. And that's really what Paul wants us to understand as he goes through this list, that at all points and in all places we are covered. Stand therefore with the belt of truth around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest. Stand with truth. And this is where, when I really started looking at this text, I started to understand. Paul's not talking about a belt that protects my midsection. He's talking about person. And so Jesus told them from John 14:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus himself calls himself truth. And so we are to be wrapped around our waist by the person of Jesus Christ. The protection of our middle is him. And the next thing that he talks about is righteousness on our chest like armor. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but from him you who are in Christ Jesus, who for us became the wisdom from God as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Here too, Paul tells us, Jesus is our righteousness. Our righteousness is all around us and covers us. Because we are clothed in the person of Jesus Christ. We are one. We are wrapped with him. We are joined together with him. And your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Isaiah already predicted some of this in his prophecies. From Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born unto us, a son will be given unto us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. And that's also what Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Our peace between God and mankind. Our peace between us as an individual and God himself. God is not at war with us. God is not at war with mankind. Jesus Christ came, shed his blood for the sin of the world. He has blotted that out. God is not looking to strike us down. God is not looking to strike anyone down. God is calling all of mankind to his Son, to understand that he has forgiven us, that we are truly at peace with him. And the next thing that Paul tells us to take on is the shield. And in every situation, take on the shield of faith. And with it, you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. We are to believe in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the times when we look on ourselves and think of ourselves as evil, as sinners, that no, we are one with Jesus Christ. We are righteous. We are saved. And that God loves us. And this is something that at times is most difficult. In the midst of the struggle, we start to examine ourselves and start to look and start to wonder, well, how can God forgive me? Look at what an awful sinner I am. Look at the things that I do. Especially look at the things that I think. And yet, we are to have faith that God sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins, that we are forgiven in His name and precious shed blood. And this is a gift from God. God promises us that no matter who we are, what we have done, what we have thought, that His blood is good, or His Son's blood is good enough for us. And He has forgiven us. And the way that we continue to have this faith, this shield, is to hear the Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Satan will always throw those lies at us. Those fiery arrows or darts. You're not good enough. Look what you did there. And you call yourself a Christian. Those lies will come to us over and over and over again throughout our lives. Because in and of ourselves, in this flesh, yes, we are sinners. But faith and the promises of God tell us that we are also victorious over sin. That we now live our lives in the victory of Jesus Christ, in His death, in His resurrection. Because He is overcome. And so when we start to doubt, when we start to worry that maybe I'm not good enough, that is one of those fiery darts from Satan himself. Believe you are forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Have faith that He is taking care of you. And He now calls you His child. Because you have salvation. Verse 17 says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Our salvation is Jesus Christ. What He did and what He accomplished, not only on the cross, but when God raised Him from the dead, is our salvation. It is the reason that He came here, to save us, to give us eternal life with Him. And then Paul tells us about the one offensive weapon we have, the sword of the Spirit. Sounds great. We finally get to go on the attack. Yes, but we don't get to punch. We don't get to strike down. What we get to do is to proclaim the Word of God, which is actually the person of Jesus Christ. As John, first chapter of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1, and John 1:14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our offense is not like a war where we strategize how to get more men over here and over here so that we can crush the enemy in between. Our offensive weapon is to know to use the Word of God, to understand the promises that we have been given through Jesus Christ and His Word, to understand and to proclaim that Word to all people, to bring the gospel of salvation to the world, that they too would know of the Word that became flesh, the person of Jesus Christ. You see, we are in a battle. But the battle's been won. We are in the midst of the struggle of life. But through Jesus Christ, we win. And so, when we think about the armor of God, and feel free to disagree with me, but what I really think Paul was doing was bringing all these things out to the Ephesians so that daily they could think about their salvation. They could think about the truth. And they could think about all these things and tie them together with the person of Jesus Christ. That they are now joined with Him. They are one with Him. They are covered by Him. And they have the Word of Him to proclaim, so that others too can know. Because he really goes on to talk about that in the end of this. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. That we would pray for all the saints. That we would continuously bring them into our thoughts and our minds and bring them before the altar, bring them before God. And Paul goes on in the last part of this to get personal. Pray for me, that the message may be given to me, that when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for this I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I should be bold enough in Him to speak as I should. Paul is gone from this earth. And I'm going to make this a little personal myself, because I ask for your prayers. That I would be able to speak the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ with bold proclamation, that people would come to know through what we proclaim here in this church, that we would be ambassadors, not just me, but that all of us would understand that we are ambassadors for Him, and that we would bring the Word with all its truth, with all its power, with all its ability to bring salvation and to work faith to all the people that we come in contact with. That God would use us as His instruments And yes, if you want to think about it like this, his soldiers, to bring the message of his Son, Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the people, knowing in full faith and assurance that we win the battle, that we have won it as believers in Jesus Christ. And God wants all people to have that same assurance and that same victory as they put on his Son, the armor of God, Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have given us your Son as our protection, as our salvation, as our truth, as our righteousness. And Father, we ask that you would help us to remember that we are protected by him and we have no need to fear. That, Father, that faith would be an everyday thing for us, that we would live it, and that we would boldly walk out with the sword of your word, proclaiming the gospel of your Son. Father, work in and through us as members of your Son's body to bring this gospel, to proclaim your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy to all people. Father, we thank you that you continue to work in and through us, and we ask your blessing upon us as we leave here, that Father, you would work in and through us not only today, but throughout the week, throughout the year. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.